The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races!
Some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
All right, this is your week three recap with two games remaining. Welcome, everybody, to Fantasy Football Today, Sunday night. Adam, Dave, and Heath here. About 8:15 Eastern as the Sunday night game is about to kick off. We're going to talk about everything else. Right now, Russell Wilson is your QB1. Dave and Heath, you want to take some guesses about who the leaders at the other positions are?
I can take some guesses, or I can just look.
No, hey, don't look. Tyler. Don't look.
Don't no, I already look. Did.
All right, Tyler Lockett.
I said Tyler. It could be Tyler Boyd. It could be one of the two. Okay, I'll go with the guy that had three touchdowns. All right. Then at running back, I think I know who it is. Nope. I was wrong. How can I
You just
forget?
Looked again?
I did, but I'm not going to say that it's Rex Burkhead. Oh, crap. I did it
Stop
again.
Stop cheating. What is this? What kind of game is this?
I'm ruining your segment. Game that we should play today.
What game?
Because, you know, the Sunday night show never has enough segments, and it's never have enough, like, pre-work done for it. So the DT-imeter.
The dead-to-meter? Dead-to-meter?
Yeah. The dead-to-meter.
Who do you want to put on the dead-to-meter?
Where is AJ Green on the dead-to-meter?
He's covered by Darius Slay. That's where he is.
Where is T.Y. Hilton on the dead-to-meter?
Oh, he's...
I'm telling you.
He's
you
an
put
eight.
Them too much on the dead-to-meter, they're going to come right back on the zombie meter because they're going to be coming out from the ground, Michael Jackson video style, and they'll be thrillers again.
So you're... I think that... Like, literally no one answered my question on either of the players that I put on the dead-to-meter.
Didn't I say an eight? I said an eight for Hilton.
Eight for Hilton?
Like a six for Green. I really think Darius Slay had a big part of it. When I was able to hear a little bit of the broadcast during overtime, they alluded to, like, don't throw at AJ Green anymore, who I think had three targets in overtime in his total of six. So there was that. Like, I'm going to say five for Green and eight for Hilton, Heath. Okay, is that better? How about
wow.
you?
Wow.
Well, what does dead to me mean? Because I'm not dropping T.Y. Hilton.
That's what I take it to mean. If they're dead to you, that means they're not on your fantasy team.
Okay, you're right.
You're burying them.
All right, then.
Abraham Lincoln three for is Green. Dead to me.
10 would be dropping. 5 would be benching.
Okay, then 3 for Green, 5 for Hilton.
Okay.
Where's Joe Mixon on the dead to meter?
Sounds like a dead tomato. I don't know. You guys tell me you're the fantasy analysts.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I feel great starting Joe Mixon. I mean, next week, listen, next week is the week for all these Bengals.
Yeah, against Jacksonville. Yep.
Pretty sure that's a matchup.
That's it. Yep.
Home against Jacksonville, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
And then they're at Baltimore, at Indianapolis, then home against Cleveland, home against Tennessee. I'm hoping that they do well against Jacksonville so I can sell high and just get out of the Bengals business altogether.
Okay. Well, we don't have like an obvious headline today, I'd say. Maybe it's rookie wide receivers come alive, but thankfully we didn't have quite as many injuries as we had last week. It felt like a little bit more of a normal week, I guess, in fantasy football. If you're watching,
did you just say normal?
It felt a little more normal.
Rex Burkhead was the number one running back this week.
I don't know. It just The first two
Almost
weeks have been
all of the tight ends
so
were
wacky.
Absolutely terrible. What did it take to be a top 10 tight end this week? Like 4 catches for 12 yards?
No, Kyle Rudolph had two catches for 11 yards and a touchdown.
Hayden Hurst had one catch for 1 yard and a touchdown, and he's going to finish 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 tied for 12th.
Yeah.
Going into the Sunday night game.
And he's not even top 12 in PPR, so
that's obvious. He had one catch.
Yeah. So I don't know. Look, there's always going to be stuff like that. It wasn't. Look, put it this way, the waiver wire is not going to be as crazy as it has been after weeks one and two. And with that, I ask you, who is your top waiver wire guy right now?
It might be Rex, in effect.
Rex. Okay. Rex Burkhead. Yes.
I mean, Carl, we don't know what the injury is to Chris Carson. He got hurt real late in their win over Dallas. If he's out for a while, then Carlos Hyde and Travis Homer would come into play. I mean, I don't know how many people are going to take Rex Burkhead's 13 touch, three touchdown game seriously.
Well, and the problem is we don't know this, but we don't think that James White's just done playing for the Patriots.
Right. Exactly.
This year.
Right. He'll come back. Damian Harris is going to heal up. Sony had over 100 yards.
Yeah. All right. And I think, if Carson has a serious injury, I think Carlos Hyde's going to be the guy.
Probably. Not that people are going to get overly excited about Carlos Hyde.
Mm. Jeff Wilson.
No, yeah. McKinnon got hurt.
Yeah, but when's Mostert coming back?
I mean, we know Tevin's not coming back for a while.
That's right. So we could be looking at a running back group of Jeff Wilson and Jamichael Hasty next week for San Fran.
And they'll win by 30
Jeff
anyway.
Jeff Wilson's my number one waiver wire priority currently.
Okay. They've got Philadelphia next
week. I've already
picked
him up. I started him this week. Remember, I'm in a league where I'm against all the fellow industry nerds, and I had McCaffrey and Barkley. My running backs this week were Jeff Wilson and Rex Burkhead.
I started Rex Burkhead in the telethon league.
That's fantastic.
All right, good job, guys.
You didn't play me in that league, did you?
I played Andy Holloway, current champion.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Yeah, sorry, Andy. We're treating you poorly in our league by starting Rex Burkhead against you.
That's how smart Heath is.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, genius. So what was I going to say? So Wilson really wasn't that involved until late in the game. So it must have been partially that McKinnon injury or just that and the combination of garbage time against a garbage team. Okay, so those are just some of the names. Obviously, we'll talk about it on Monday. We'll talk about it on Tuesday. Waiver Wire is for another show. Watch us on YouTube, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Check out Fantasy Football Today in 5. That podcast drops 6 times a week, first thing in the morning. Fantasy Football Today in 5. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on Stitcher, so many outlets. And go to cbssports.com/podcast and get a list of all of our shows. We have some great stuff. All Things Covered is this new one with Patrick Peterson joining Bryant McFadden. That's going to be really cool. Some news and notes for you. Josh Allen and Russell Wilson scored more fantasy points today than Sam Darnold has scored in his first 3 games combined. Tariq Cohen may have torn his ACL, and it does seem like every time a torn ACL is expected, it becomes a torn ACL. So plan on unfortunate news for Tariq Cohen, and he's likely out for the year. What would the impact be on the Bears' backfield?
Still a lot of Montgomery, and Cordarrelle Patterson will get to keep being a thing.
There was more Patterson today than I would have liked, but I do think this would be a little boost to David Montgomery. It's weird to think of David Montgomery as a workhorse back on a 3-0 team.
Why?
Because we went into the year and he was on a terrible team and he was sharing all passing work with Tariq Cohen. So it's like everything completely different than what we thought about David Montgomery.
Right. But they're probably the most fraudulent 3-0 team in football.
Yeah, they stink. Well, they just got a new quarterback, Nick Foles, taking over for Mitchell Trubisky. And Foles scored 23 fantasy points in like half the game. And he had 2 touchdown passes that were overturned. One was turned into an interception. I don't know if he played well. I understand he threw a couple balls that should have been picked, but he had a lot of fantasy points against the Colts next week.
He was picked twice, is that right? Or just once?
Once.
I think he had 2 or 3 dropped. It was a lot better than what Trubisky did in that first half. I thought it was weird that they did that when they did, but it worked out really well.
Chris Godwin left with a hamstring injury. Mike Williams left with a hamstring injury. Chris Carson got hurt late, and it did not look good, and they're at Miami next week. Deontay Johnson left with a concussion. Jerick McKinnon injured ribs. Jordan Reed left with an ankle injury on an almost touchdown against the Giants. San Francisco cornerback Emmanuel Mosley left with an injury. They don't have to play in that stadium next week, do they?
I think they're done.
Okay, good. Dallas Goedert left with an ankle injury. And DeSean Jackson left with a hamstring injury, and that opened up some targets for Greg Ward, who had a big game. We had a lot of wide receivers like, who are these guys? Not who are these guys, but do they matter? That's a segment we have coming up later. I'm going to have to put Greg Ward in there.
That's the Cedric Wilson Memorial that is the section.
The official segment of Cedric Wilson. Huge game for the Cowboys. John Brown missed much of the second half with a calf injury. What do you think of that pass interference call in the Rams game?
I think the Rams are even now because they didn't deserve to beat the Cowboys, but won because of a fraudulent pass interference call. And that was one of the worst pass interference calls I've ever seen.
I agree.
Like, it was absolutely awful. But
it's how do they justify it?
We don't have like a pool report.
There was a lot of contact, though. Can't deny that.
It was not that.
His hands.
I was interested to see what they say if they try to say it was a good call, because it was not a good call, at least in my view. But it wasn't like the Rams non-pass interference call against the Saints. It was the most obvious bad call ever. This at least had some question to it. I thought anyway.
I think the only reason there was question is because they threw the flag. If they'd not thrown the flag, no one would have thought it was questionable whether it was pass interference. I don't think.
I would maybe like a holding or a legal contact or something, but. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. That's a drink. I get my water. Dalvin Cook hobbled off in the fourth quarter. I didn't see anything on that, but just he did. And the Chargers put two starting defensive linemen on IR before the game. Melvin Ingram and Justin Jones. Ingram, a pass rusher. Jones, defensive tackle. Chase Young left with a groin injury. Russell Gage left with a head injury. Buffalo safety Micah Hyde got hurt. Not sure if he returned. Philadelphia right tackle Jason Peters got hurt in overtime. They can't lose him. That'd be bad. Cleveland has a winning record for the first time in 6 seasons. Wow. And Pittsburgh fullback Derek Watt left with a hamstring injury. Bengals wide receiver John Ross was a healthy scratch. And Rob Gronkowski had a big game, and he should have had a touchdown. Tom Brady missed him. Those two have just no chemistry. They never have. All right. Buy or sell. Here we go. Buy or sell. Let's start with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is QB1. Forget about those scrubs on Monday night. Russell Wilson is QB1. Buy or sell?
Buy. QB1. They're finally letting him cook.
Did we lose
Heath? Their run game is in trouble.
I think we may have lost Heath.
No, I'm here. Oh. I was just waiting.
He's thinking patiently about it.
Okay.
No, there was no air for me to speak. Yeah, I could buy it.
It's a perfect storm. It's a perfect storm. Their defense is trash.
But
the run game is in trouble. And
also, like, I think you could have said Josh Allen, and you could have made a convincing argument.
Yeah.
Is that the next buy or sell?
It could be. Well, hold on. I just want to say this about Wilson. So he has scored 38, 42, and 44 fantasy points in 3 games. What I loved about it was he threw his 4th touchdown pass early in the 3rd quarter. At that point, he had 23 pass attempts, and the Seahawks running backs had 13 carries. So the game scripts have just been different. They've been throwing early a lot. But last season, he scored 30 or more fantasy points in 4 of 5 weeks early in the year. He finished his QB4. In 2018, he scored 25 or more in 6 of 8 games. He was QB11 that year. In 2017... he scored 30 or more in 4 of 5 games, exactly what he did in 2019. And he did finish his QB1 that year, but it was kind of a lackluster QB1 season. It was good, but not great. I buy Russell Wilson. He's amazing. But he does do this. He does have incredible hot stretches and doesn't, keep it up, I guess.
Has he ever had a season where he's started with 14 touchdowns, 3 games, 75% completion rate, a touchdown rate of 13.6%?
Isn't that kind of the point? Like, the touchdown rate's a little high, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe that comes. I don't think it does. I think he's just going to continue rolling. No, dude, he's amazing.
You don't think he's actually going to have a 13% touchdown rate?
You're right. It's probably going to be around like 10.
All right, Josh Allen is QB2 rest of season. Buy or sell?
I don't think it's going to be around 10, by the way. But I do think Russ is trying to prove that he's worthy of an MVP vote. And the only thing stopping him now is a Le'Veon Bell trade. Who is this? Josh Allen?
Josh Allen is QB2. You made me do it.
Oh, I don't
sell.
I'm going to sell that, but I can't help but come away with just, he's so incredible.
He's improved a lot.
He is, but he still makes some really bad passes. That ball to Stephon Diggs, it should have been a touchdown and hit the ground. Like, what was that? Right. Terrible.
Oh, he's not Russell Wilson.
No, he's got some flaws, but he's obviously really good. And they're throwing the ball more, you know?
I think he should give you a lot of hope for Daniel Jones.
No.
He should give everybody hope about every young quarterback. He should. All right, but he's not QB2, but he's a top... God, there's such a hierarchy at the position right now.
The thing is, if you were
going
to move him ahead of someone today, it might be ahead of Kyler, who was the guy we were saying last week might be QB2.
I don't think I'd do that.
Like, you're not going to put Allen ahead of Lamar or Mahomes.
Well, I'm definitely putting him ahead of Watson. I don't know if he was already.
He's in that top four conversation.
Is it a top six? Is it a top seven? It's obviously it's the two
I
guys.
I think it's seven now.
All right, so who is it?
I don't know in order, but it's Lamar and Patrick Mahomes and Wilson and Dak and Kyler and Allen and Watson.
And were you sure about Watson?
Well, I mean, I don't think we'd be sure about any of these quarterbacks if they had played the Ravens and Steelers in back-to-back weeks.
I feel like if any of those other six quarterbacks had faced the Ravens and Steelers, they would have had at least one game with more than 20 or 22 fantasy points, whatever Watson put up.
What'd Watson have today?
20 or 22. I don't remember.
That used to be good.
He actually got off to a great start. The second half, they were invisible. Okay.
Hey, when does Russell Wilson play the Ravens or the Steelers?
Good point. Okay, well, but when does Deshaun Watson at now anymore?
No, his schedule opens up. This is the next 3 days. It's going to be all about how you should trade for Deshaun Jackson and the
Watson.
Don't trade for Deshaun Jackson.
Deshaun Watson. No, I'm sorry. What a Freudian slip that was. No, why would you even do that? Deshaun Watson.
All right, buy or sell. We are starting Mike Davis over Joe Mixon until further notice.
It's because of that game against Jacksonville, right?
Yeah, I can't say it.
Carolina in week four.
Who is it?
Arizona, and then at Atlanta, and then Chicago.
Yeah, I buy.
And then by then, I do too.
I had a feeling Mixon wasn't going to be great today. Like I do believe in the Eagles defense, but it's just hard run defense anyway. It's just hard to tell Joe Mixon managers that it's all going to be okay. But is it all going to be okay?
More yards than him today?
Well, he didn't have any carries, so I don't.
He had like a 40-yard catch, didn't he?
Maybe, but Mixon had 19 touches again. And you know, Mixon and Drake are kind of similar here. You know, DeAndre Hopkins is killing Kenyon Drake. Drake is not catching anything. I think he has 5 catches in 3 games.
65 yards for
Chase Edmonds.
55 yards for Gio.
Edmonds not doing that much. And then you get to the goal line.
He has more catches than Drake, doesn't he?
Probably, but not much, right?
Yeah.
But neither of them are. You get to the goal line, and it's the Kyler Murray show. It's like, I don't know what to tell Kenyon Drake managers. I don't know what to tell Joe Mixon managers at this point, guys. What should we tell them?
You can't sell now. Unless there's a truther amongst you that still believes that Joe Mixon should have been drafted in the first round. But there
is a difference between the two of them, though. We already talked about the schedule for Cincinnati, and it's great in week four because they've got the Jaguars, and then after that it goes kablooey. Cardinals have Carolina in week four, the Jets in week five, the Cowboys in week six. They're all on the road, but so what? Seattle in week seven, then a bye, week nine against Miami, week 10 against Buffalo.
Okay.
I mean,
the
schedule is perfect. Well, Drake is the one that you want to try and buy low on first.
All right. Buy or sell, Rob Gronkowski's roster percentage is absolutely perfect, but it should be higher next week.
I presume it's 69%.
It is, of course, 69%.
Yeah. Well, buy and sell.
That it's perfect, but you sell that it should be higher next week. Okay. This was a squeaky wheel game, no? 6 catches, 48 yards, 7 targets. Should have had a touchdown. Had 4 targets in the first 2 games.
But I thought I missed something, honestly. And it's great that he had 7 targets. I'm not poo-pooing that at all. But he caught 6 passes for 48 yards. That's
he's still,
not Yeah.
Still the touchdown or bust guy.
If that's the ceiling.
Still the touchdown or bust guy? Like he was not that during like his career, was he?
Honestly, what the last year he was in the NFL.
Oh,
what
that, was he? That year, yes, he was.
All right, 2007, so obviously not over the course of
the whole year he was retired. He didn't get anything out of him.
He was a bust every week.
All right, so is anybody buying into Rob Gronkowski? Look, if Chris Godwin's hurt, okay. I think O.J. Howard may have had more similar amount of yards than him anyway. Buy or sell, you won't be able to trust a Bucs or Lions running back this season, barring injury. You won't be able to trust a Bucs or Lions running back this season.
Sell for the season, buy for the near-term future.
I might buy it for the Lions all year. The worst thing that could have happened is that they won this game against Arizona, giving Adrian Peterson a bunch of work.
Yeah.
Because now Pencil Beard's going to say, we can go ahead and keep rolling with Adrian Peterson every week. And then 1 week, it's just not going to work out that way. And no one will be starting DeAndre Swift. No one can start any of these guys with any confidence.
Yeah, like Fournette. I mean, Ronald Jones had more carries than Fournette. Jones had 5 or 6 carries on the last drive of the game in a blowout. But at that point, it was about even, and neither of them had many carries at all. So that was really annoying. And I think you got to think of Fournette as a loser today because people were really excited about him.
I was one of them. Heath was not. Heath was not excited about him. Neither were you. Good for you.
No, I thought that he would have a touchdown, and he was in at the goal line. A couple times and didn't get the, and then Mike Evans had 2 1-yard touchdown catches, which is bizarre. His only catches of the game. So Fournette could have had the touchdowns, but look, I don't trust Bruce Arians at all, and I know he doesn't either.
No.
All right, let's go to winners.
I still think Fournette will be the running back eventually in Tampa.
I think we got to look at Denver's run defense. I feel like it's been very good this year.
Yes.
You know, Derrick Henry, James Conner, right?
Right. And then, Conner had a big run late last week. So like a fourth quarter salt the game away run that really made the stat line pop. Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those things where maybe I got to check PFF, but the Broncos get Jarrell Casey. Their run defense has been really good. The Titans lose Jarrell Casey. They've got so far a terrible run defense. Oh, Dalvin Cook was terrific today, by the way. Mm-hmm. All right, winners and losers. Let's do it. Heath. Justin Jefferson, you know, we talked waiver wire. We didn't really speak about these rookie wide receivers. Justin Jefferson with a big day. T. Higgins had 2 touchdowns. Isabella is not a rookie, but he had 2 touchdowns. Brandon Ayuk had a big day. But Jefferson was, I'm guessing, the one that stood out to you. 39% rostered, 175 yards and 1 touchdown against Tennessee. What do you think about him? Unfortunately, Pittsburgh and Buffalo in the next 2 weeks. What do you think about Jefferson?
Looked like someone that you would be happy to draft in the 8th round of a mock draft, whether people mocked you or not.
That's right.
No, it was a baby step. Like, he was a big time winner, but it was still a baby step. You're not starting him in his next 2 matchups, but you love the involvement, and there's now a hope that he might be the Stephon Diggs in the second half of this season. There's a reason to have him on your roster in a redraft league.
What do you do with that when maybe Buffalo doesn't have a good defense this year? I don't know what's going on there, but what do you do with the fact that Pittsburgh and Buffalo are his next 2 opponents? And quite frankly, wide receivers have done just fine against Pittsburgh. They haven't torn them up, but they've been fine.
I need to see it again from Jefferson. Uh-huh. Like, he went from needs to be on the waiver wire to needs to be on my bench. He did not, unless I'm desperate, you don't trust it off of 1 game, but it's a building block. And if you do that multiple times, and then defenses will have to treat Adam Thielen a little bit differently, maybe that whole offense gets opened up a little bit.
It is a humongous step for the Vikings offense. And I know that Minnesota lost, and it's frustrating that they're 0-3, but this is a good step forward. This was the type of game that I might have expected from Jefferson after Thanksgiving, because it just looked like he wasn't really doing well before this week. And then it's just like a unbelievable explosion from him in this game. And I don't want people to chase it and expect him to do something like this every week, because Tennessee's defense just really has proven to be not very good. But he came into the league as an NFL-ready slot receiver, And this was the type of game that makes you go, oh, that's why they took him in the first round.
Yeah, played great.
He needs to be rostered. There's no question about it, but he shouldn't be a priority for you unless you're in a keeper league, dynasty league, really deep wide receiver league, something like that.
Okay.
He won't be your first guy to go after off waivers. He won't be even a 10% buy with your fab.
All right, that's Justin Jefferson. Heath, Darrell Henderson only started in 33% of leagues today, but he is the other winner for you, Darrell Henderson.
He was started in the For the People podcast league.
Yeah, he was started in four or five of my leagues. So
yeah, this is 2 weeks in a row now. The momentum is building. We came into the year thinking, you know, Malcolm Brown's probably going to start week one, and he's kind of the placeholder, and it's a race between Cam, or at least I did, thinking it's a race between Cam Akers and Darrell Henderson to see if one of those guys can prove to be a difference maker at running back. Because Malcolm Brown, I don't remember which offensive lineman it was, but they said on the broadcast today that they call him the example. And like Darrell Henderson and Cam Akers are supposed to follow that example. And they have more talent. If they do all the things that Malcolm Brown does, they'll be much better running backs because they're more talented. And Darrell Henderson was very good in this game. Cam Akers is hurt. Malcolm Brown, not as involved as we thought he might be. He still got in the short yardage and really kind of sucked a little of the value away from Henderson until he got that late touchdown. But this was, I think this was a very encouraging step towards Henderson possibly being a semi, not feature back, but leading the committee.
Would you try to sell Henderson? Because I'm wondering if just like he's going to be great until Cam Akers comes back.
I think that's a risk. It's not, I don't want to disregard it, but I also don't think that Cam Akers is definitely more talented than Henderson. He doesn't necessarily have much better pedigree, and they didn't really spend that much more on draft capital.
Darrell Henderson has looked terrific 2 weeks in a row.
He's looked completely different from last year. And it's been a pleasure to see.
And I think Cam Akers running the ball has looked a little bit like Darrell Henderson did last year.
All right, Dave,
I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Can you even recall one play through the first week and three carries that Cam Akers had where you went, wow, that guy's.
He doesn't quite look like I'm not. I think he had some good runs.
Right.
He doesn't yet look like he fully belongs.
All right, guys, so, let's go. Dave, let's get to your winners.
Okay. I was just going to say that Henderson definitely looks like the guy that can be the primary back, not necessarily a feature back for the Rams.
All right. Your winners are Mike Davis and Brandon Ayuk. So Mike Davis, 13 carries, 46 yards, 8 catches, 45 yards, and a touchdown. That's 2 weeks in a row with 8 catches. It should be McCaffrey doing this.
I know. Yeah. I know. And thank goodness for it, because there was no guarantee that he was going to get that type of work in the passing game, but he did. He dominated the playing time, and I think we can count on this type of volume moving forward. I don't know if he'll catch a touchdown every week, but this has been a nice replacement for Christian McCaffrey in PPR leagues. And in non-PPR too, because he scored.
Brandon Ayuk, 5 catches for 70 yards, 3 carries for 31 yards and a touchdown against the Little Giants.
He was giving me, he's not the same type of receiver as Deebo Samuel, but those kinds of vibes were coming to me because of the rushing work that he was getting. And they were using him in the passing game just like he was being used at Arizona State. You know, these little slants right off the snap, putting him in position to try and add some yards after the catch. It was smart. It was heady. And now if Jordan Reed's out, none of the other receivers are healthy for week four, guess who the number one target is going to be for the 49ers passing game? It's going to be Ayuk. Well, yeah, if he comes back too. Hopefully he does. I know it sounds like he does, or he will.
Yeah, so Ayuk is 30% roster. Jefferson is 39%. Who's a bigger priority? Ayuk's got the Eagles, then the Dolphins, and Jefferson has the Steelers and Bills.
I'm going to say Ayuk by like 1% of fab and 1 waiver claim.
I would rather start Ayuk next week. I would rather have Jefferson on my bench.
What's the thing that they say in Street Fighter? It sounds like Ayuk, you know? Oh, Hadouken! Yeah, I think people have made that kind of team name. Yeah, think about it, everybody. It sounds like Ayuk. Yeah. All right, losers. Losers right here. Dave's losers. Carson Wentz and Joe Mixon. Oh, hey, Carson Wentz has scored 23 points, Dave.
Yeah, but I don't know how people can feel great about starting him. And if that offensive line is falling apart, it's a matter of time before he falls apart. I am nervous about the future of the Philadelphia Eagles offense.
Rough day for him.
Can I confess something about how terrible I am at fantasy football?
Are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah. I drafted Carson Wentz and Gardner Minshew on more than one team. And on more than one team, I have started the wrong one each week.
So frustrating.
So what are you going to do now? Because these are, I don't know. Let's start with this. There's probably going to be a quarterback off the waiver wire that you might be interested in, at the very least stashing, and at the very most streaming into week four. Which quarterback are you cutting first?
Eagles play
the San Francisco 49ers.
And Gardner Minshew faces the Bengals. So I would be more likely to drop Carson Wentz.
That's what I would tell you to do too.
I mean, do you see the next three games for Carson Wentz? At San Francisco, at Pittsburgh, and Baltimore.
So I think we're just going to go ahead and say drop Carson Wentz.
It's over for Carson Wentz for now. We might come back to him in a month and a half.
And if my history of managing Carson Wentz is any indication, you should probably start him and use him all of your DFS lineups this week.
It's not a good roster. Like Carson Wentz is spending a lot of, he is holding the ball for a long time. He is taking a lot of sacks and he is making a lot of risky throws. He doesn't have, I'm sorry to say, he doesn't have a good receiver right now, especially with Goddard and Jackson.
It's not just their fault.
No, it's definitely not.
He missed DeSean Jackson wide open on a slant in the red zone before Jackson got hurt. It's partially the roster, but it's a lot him.
Yeah, he's not as consistent of a passer as he's been in the past.
Yeah, I read a breakdown.
He might have the jitters because he knows his O-line isn't as good.
Well, I read a breakdown on his mechanics from Dan Orlovsky. He said he's too upright or something like that. I don't know. He thinks it's a mechanical issue first and foremost.
So your Giants, Adam, have the option to trade Daniel Jones for Carson Wentz.
Of course, in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
Okay.
Dave, you have anything else you would like to say about Joe Mixon?
I'm going to have a hard time starting him with supreme confidence if he doesn't get it done in week four.
Okay. Yeah.
It's kind of the Joe Boo week.
Except the difference with the Joe Boo week for Chris Herndon was it was easy to cut Chris Herndon.
It's bench Joe Mixon.
And I think you can't do it in week four. And I almost feel like regardless of how he does in week four, you're probably going to bench him anyway in week five.
Okay, let's go to Heath's losers. Hayden Hurst caught a touchdown. Heath, what are you talking about, loser? Come on. And AJ Green. Hayden Hurst.
I don't really understand what the Falcons are doing at all.
Oh, they're losing football games.
I don't know how
they've
lost the past two games that they've played. They're really bad. And Hayden Hurst is not as good as I thought he was. And they're not using him like I thought they would. And it's really nice that he scored a touchdown for those of you that got excited Julio was out and put him in your starting lineup. But that is not an encouraging performance at all.
If we go into Tuesday not knowing about Julio and Gage, I don't know that you can cut Hayden Hurst, though.
I don't want to. I'm not going into Wednesday with Hayden Hurst as my only tight end, though.
Okay. AJ Green, are you going to start him against Jacksonville?
Probably as a number three receiver.
Yeah, I don't want to.
This could be the Jobu game for AJ Green.
This is the Jobu game.
Let's refresh. What is the Jobu game?
Okay.
For people who don't know.
All right. Serrano, the character from Major League, when he's in the batter's box in the big time playoff game, he talks to his bat, who he's put at the altar of Jobu in his locker. And he says, if you don't help me, Jobu, or if you don't help me, I say, blank you, Jobu.
Forget you.
I do it myself.
I do it myself.
That's all state stand.
Now you can't, Adam. Now you can't go and start yourself in fantasy, but you can definitely remove a player who doesn't help you.
But you might score as many points as AJ Green.
Yeah, that's true. So I used to call it last chance saloon. You know, if you don't get it done this week, you're done. And Look, if AJ Green hits the waiver wire, someone's going to pick him up and put him on the bench. Maybe you're hurting an opponent in your league by letting them have AJ Green make a bad lineup decision with AJ Green. The schedule's going to get rough for him too. It's going to get rough for Burrow. It's going to get rough for Mixon. It'll be easier to let him go if he gets shut down by CJ Henderson in week four.
Yes, it would. All right, I like it. The Joe Boo game, I love it. Let's play a game called Do These Guys Matter? Cedric Wilson, 5 catches, 107 yards, 2 touchdowns for the Cowboys at Seattle. Cincinnati wide receiver T. Higgins, 2 touchdowns on 9 targets, and John Ross inactive today.
Would have been nice if maybe A.J. Green had gotten some of those targets.
Would have been nice. Cedric Wilson, T. Higgins, Andy Isabella for the Cardinals, 4 targets, caught them all, 2 touchdowns against Detroit. Washington wide receiver Dontrell Inman, 2 touchdowns for him at Cleveland. New England running back Rex Burkhead, I think we've established already that he does matter. So let's go with those 4 wide receivers, Cedric Wilson, T. Higgins, Andy Isabella, Dontrell Inman, and tight end Mo Alie-Cox. Now, I saw Jack Doyle didn't have a target. Mo Alie-Cox had 3 catches for 50 yards and a touchdown against the Jets. This is after 5 catches for 111 yards against Minnesota. So you're thinking, oh, Doyle, he was hurt. He probably didn't play. Jack Doyle played 72% of the snaps and didn't get a target. Mo Alie-Cox only got 3. He played 77% of the snaps, I believe, and he had another good game. So Wilson, Higgins, Isabella, Inman, Mo Alie-Cox. Do any of these guys matter?
Higgins matters. Like there was a portion in the second half, and I haven't seen the official snap counts, where like A.J. Green wasn't even on the field for stretches of time. And so I definitely think that Higgins may get worked in more and more. It sounds like he's already passed John Ross. Auden Tate was ahead of John Ross today in terms of the pecking order and getting on the active roster. So Higgins is the one that I think matters the most right now. I don't have any plans of adding any of the rest of them.
Here's some trivia that maybe the most diehard of podcast listeners from the offseason can answer correctly. Who was T. Higgins working out with leading up to the 2020 NFL draft?
Joe Burrow.
They already had chemistry. They already had synergy together, and they ended up on the same team. And here's a game where Higgins is outperforming everybody on the Bengals.
Not bad. All right, let's take a quick break here on Fantasy Football Today. When we come back, we'll look at the top 5 players at each position, and we will go through every game with our fantasy analysis. And, you know what? I was going to say something, but I don't want to jinx it. So, well, now I have to say it, right? I was going to say, nobody's ruined Sunday Night Football for me yet. So that's great. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from the people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Top 5 players at each position. It starts with quarterback. It starts with Russell Wilson. Huge game for him. Josh Allen, 2. So Russell Wilson, 6 points per passing touchdown leagues, 44 points. Allen, 38. Dak Prescott, 32. And then this is a big surprise. Jared Goff, 30 fantasy points with a rushing touchdown at Buffalo. And Tom Brady is fifth with 29 points. So, Dave, what do you think about Goff now? Two good games in a row and Brady with his first big game of the year.
I got to give Goff credit for bouncing back from a terrible start in this game against the Bills. He was atrocious. It was 21-3 at one point, and Rams basically played it cool, and they found a way to get back into the game. And Goff made some plays, but really there were a couple of plays that just really went the Rams' way. Robert Woods' touchdown, for example. Goff is about to get destroyed by a pass rusher. He flicks it to Woods. He was the hot read on a screen. Tremaine Edmonds can't wrap him up. Tre'Davious White falls down. Robert Woods is into the end zone 25 yards later for a touchdown. Kind of a fortuitous play, if you could imagine that. But a lot of the other plays he made, the touchdown to Cooper Kupp, for example, was great. Cooper Kupp was amazing for LA. And Goff deserves credit, man. He really bounced back from a really terrible start to help the Rams stay competitive and help fantasy managers who started him.
I'm feeling lucky, though, because they're running the ball so much. 31, 27, and 32 pass attempts in three games for Jared Goff. It's just not that much. And I don't know, he had a rushing touchdown today. It just feels like this is not sustainable. You know?
No, I agree.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the running backs here. Rex Burkhead is number one. And by the way, that doesn't mean he's only going to throw 31 times every week. Maybe he throws more, but this is not sustainable.
I mean, it's back-to-back weeks with at least three touchdowns for him.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
At least 250 yards passing. And this was at Buffalo. Not an easy place.
I know. And look, Philadelphia, I don't think Philadelphia's defense is that bad. He scored 29 points against them, but like you said, it was a lucky play with
A lucky play. He's got the Giants next week and then Washington.
That's pretty good.
So the next couple of games, he might just keep staying lucky.
All right, Burkhead 1, James Robinson 2, Derrick Henry finally getting into the end zone, got in twice. Derrick Henry 3, Dalvin Cook 4, and Nick Chubb 5. Actually, James Conner in PPR outscored Nick Chubb, and Austin Eckler in PPR I think he was RB3. I'm looking at
11 receptions.
Yeah.
Remember how worried we were about Austin Eckler 2 weeks ago?
I wasn't that worried. I know Heath wasn't that worried. The fantasy world was worried.
Oh my God. He's not going to get any receptions.
Yeah.
He's
had a different quarterback each of the last two weeks. So with Tyrod Taylor, he might not get that many receptions.
And I would say this game probably clinches the fact that he will be with Tyrod Taylor again at some point this year.
Maybe.
But still, you're still encouraged.
Yeah, very good. He's awesome. Like the touchdown he scored, fantastic. Made a guy miss. He's awesome.
Mm-hmm. All right, this is a pretty standard list other than Burkhead and James Robinson.
Well, no, I think Robinson is, we talked about him after the game on Thursday. I think he's here to stay, at least a number two running back moving forward. Rex is probably not, but if you used him, great. And forget about three touchdowns. How many more games is he going to have one touchdown in the rest of the season?
Yeah, it was not a good game for Cam Newton, only 10 fantasy points. Not a good fantasy game for him. Rex Burkhead kind of stole some points from him. Tyler Lockett's your number one wide receiver. Justin Jefferson is 2. Cedric Wilson is 3. Michael Gallup is 4.
just a normal week. Felt a lot more normal
if
this
we
week.
Had three told you that game.
Right. If we had told you two Cowboys receivers would have finished top 5, you would have been like, all right, it's going to be Amari Cooper and maybe Lamb or maybe Gallup. Wrong.
Well, actually, in PPR, I only think one of them would have finished top 5 because Allen Robinson had 10 catches. Man, when they give up points, Allen Robinson's amazing. He's amazing even when they don't give up points sometimes. And Keenan Allen, 13 catches, 132 yards, and a touchdown. This is two big games in a row for Keenan Allen. Are we looking to sell Keenan Allen, or are we going to keep him?
Go ahead, Heath, say it.
Well, what can you sell him for? I don't think he's going. That's the thing, and it's probably going to prevent me from selling him, is I don't think everyone viewed him as a low-end number two coming into the year. And not the low-end number one that he's been most of the time on a per-game basis. And now he's performing like a low-end number one again. And if somebody thought that he was, and I could sell him for that type of value, I would do it. because I still think he's probably going to be a number two wide receiver the rest of the year.
Well, that's but not I, what I was expecting to hear. I'm sorry, I cut you off at the end.
No, what did you think I was going to say, Dave?
I thought you were going to say, well, Tyrod Taylor's going to come back, and that's going to bring Keenan Allen's numbers right back down to earth.
Which, by the way, I think I wanted to talk about that because I think we need to do a little bit of a Mythbuster thing here. The notion that Taylor throws the ball downfield and would be better for Mike Williams, I really think that was based on just one game because that was not the case in Buffalo.
It's not even that. It's not based in fact because Keenan Allen got 28% of the targets when Tyrod Taylor played. He had 8 targets in that game. It was just a bad game, I think.
Okay.
Not sure if Tyrod Taylor can throw catchable passes consistently.
Well, that could be, and he won't throw as much probably because he runs.
That too. Right. So these are two pretty big strikes that are going against Keenan Allen. If you could sell high on Keenan Allen, because we're assuming that the Chargers are going to go back to Tyrod at some point, then I would do it.
Okay.
But I'm talking selling high. I'm not talking about getting rid of him for, you know, a couple of, you know, pieces who might end up being a starter for your team.
How about Adam Thielen?
Give me Thielen.
Thielen?
Yeah.
How about...
What if it's Joe Mixon?
Joe Mixon, yeah.
Give me Mixon. I don't even like Mixon.
I would do Mixon in non-PPR for Keenan Allen. I think I would. I don't know if I could do it in non-PPR, even with Tyrod coming back. And you know what? Even when Tyrod comes back, once they lose one or two more games with Taylor, they're going to go right back to the kid. And they should, honestly, I think they should stick with Herbert no matter what. I don't think Tyrod should be under center again for the Chargers unless Herbert really regresses.
So just shotgun for him? Okay. Jimmy Graham, your number one tight end, 6 for 60 and 2 touchdowns. Tyler Croft? Really? He had 2 touchdowns?
I'm just glad we got back to normal this week.
Eric Ebron? Mo Alley Cox and Foster Moreau and Jacob Hollister and Jesse James.
Let's get to the games.
I agree. Let's get to the game. It's 2 good games for Jimmy Graham out of 3. You buy that Nick Foles could maybe energize Jimmy. Okay, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought that up. Let's get to the games here. Pittsburgh 28, Houston 21. Heath is on the clock, believe it or not. Houston, by the way, only had the ball for 23 minutes and 9 seconds in this game, so that's really low. Believe it or not, what do we got, Heath?
Believe it or not, you should go buy low on all the Texans.
Believe it.
I don't know about Brandon Cooks. I don't feel good about him at all. Should I?
He was open in the end zone and Watson missed him. I don't know if that makes you feel better or worse. It was kind of an almost
Makes me feel better.
Vikings, Jaguars, Titans, Packers, buy Jaguars, Browns.
In terms of things that encourage me, if a touchdown is a 10 on the encouragement meter, an almost touchdown is like an 8.5.
I know.
I love them. They're great. But seriously, like the only time he was good was when Will Fuller had literally 0 targets in week 2. So what do you think?
I think you're going to see Brandon Cooks on the waiver wire in a bunch of leagues.
Should you?
Yeah.
And would you pick him up?
I'd rather pick him up than Justin Jefferson.
Yes. I know that sounds crazy after week 3, but I'm not ready to start Justin Jefferson with the bye weeks coming. Not yet. Cooks, I could absolutely see as a bye week replacement at receiver.
Buy or sell, what the hell, Juju Smith-Schuster?
Buy.
I've been buying that for a year and a half now.
What is going on? 5 targets, 4 catches, 43 yards and a touchdown. He has 6, 8, and 5 targets in 3 games. And Deontay Johnson got 0 catches in this game. He left with an injury. What is going on?
He left in the first half. He got concussed. So I guess Deontay gets a pass for this one.
No, I mean Juju didn't get more targets even without Deontay Johnson. That's what I meant by that.
Yeah.
What is going on?
How many passes did Ben throw?
36. 5 of them to Smith-Schuster. Yeah,
I don't know. I'm glad he scored.
I wonder if that's what he is now.
How could that be?
He's got a scorer?
No. Well, I mean, he certainly is that, but he needs to find the end zone in order to be incredible for fantasy. And if he doesn't do it, then he'll be okay.
I guess, but he's like not even incredible while finding the end zone. I don't know. It's really strange. I'm going to expect Juju Smith-Schuster to be more involved. Are you? Am I just being?
I'm going to hope.
Okay.
I'm involved to the point where he's getting DeAndre Hopkins type targets. No way. Ben's spreading it around. This was a possibility, and you knew it was before the season started.
Also interesting in this game, Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland had 13 carries, and this was not a blowout.
Benny Snell got a goal line carry.
He did.
He did a terrible job on it. I don't do that again.
I think there's a chance that Connor could be a good sell high guy. Like I've got Connor in a couple of leagues, not many, but I'm gonna see what I can get for him in trade because he's not he's big and burly, but he's not super fast. And
would you rather have Connor or Mixon?
I'd rather have Connor.
Yeah,
I think I can get more than for in trade with Connor than I can with Mixon. I don't think I can get anything good for Mixon in trade right now.
No, like Joe Mixon is one of those players that is so beloved by the community that will excuse all kinds of things.
Really?
I think so.
But is this not but Heath's also, sarcasm I'm hearing?
No, Heath means it. But also,
no, I totally mean it.
Joe Mixon is also a guy who gets 17 carries or more every week. So there's
something
to say for
that. Yeah, but I don't get points
for
carries, and this offensive line's terrible.
It was terrible last year.
Yeah, but they figured out a way in the second half of last year. And the offensive identity of this team is going through Burrow now for sure.
But he's still getting 17 carries. They're just running probably a ton
of
plays.
I'm going to trade you Joe Mixon this week.
I would be interested. I would. I mean, what would you take for Joe Mixon? I'm not giving you James Conner for him, that's for sure. I'll give you Daryl Henderson.
I think I would have to throw in something.
I'll give you Daryl Henderson for Joe Mixon.
I'd have to think long and hard about that.
No.
What do you mean no? No on what?
Dave's not going to do that.
Okay, all right.
I am nervous about Joe Mixon.
All right, here we go. Let's go to New England and Las Vegas. Big game for Hunter Renfrow. He probably should have been in the Does He Matter segment. And the Patriots had the ball for 9 more minutes than Las Vegas here. Heath, what do we got?
Buy or sell, the Patriots pass game is going to be bad against bad teams.
Buy.
Sure, yeah. So, wait, believe it.
Yeah.
Believe it. Believe it. Bye.
Excellent.
Yeah. I give it an A.
Right. So Cam Newton threw 20 times in week one and
28 times
19
in week three.
Times, 19, 28 times in week three. What do you
and
make
Rex
of this?
Rex Burkhead saw 10 of the 28 targets went to Rex Burkhead.
What do you make of this performance from Cam Newton? Strange game.
I don't think he threw quite as well, just overall. The interception was ugly. And I think the Patriots were wise to try and just win this game by grinding down the clock, using their run game, attacking that Raiders front, even without their best center playing. So yeah. I don't have a problem with the game plan, but this is something that can happen anytime the Patriots can get moving off the snap with the run game that can disappoint you.
Okay. Chiefs host the Patriots next week. Let's do a buy or sell. Oh yeah,
so that's one where I think Cam could end up being better, because unless the Chiefs just suddenly have an absolutely horrific run defense, and they might.
All right, so Josh Jacobs 16 carries after having 25 and 27 in weeks 1 and 2. So buy or sell, you might want to see what you can get for Josh Jacobs because he has the high scoring Bills, not a joke, and the Chiefs, and then a bye in his next 3 games.
So. And he's got a hip injury.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're going to – I think people are going to see the injury tag on Jacobs along with what you got out of him in week 3, and they're going to say, well, I can't give you first-round value for him anymore.
Sorry. Okay.
I don't know what happened. What is Heath apologizing for?
I just cheered audibly.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I just know that like an hour into the game, something great happened.
It was really great.
Buffalo 35 and the Rams 32. We talked about Jared Goff. We talked about Daryl Henderson. Robert Woods with a big game. He had 30 rushing yards. He also had 74 yards and a touchdown receiving. Cooper Kupp, 107 yards and a touchdown on 10 targets. What are we looking at? Oh, Tyler Higbee was bad. What are we looking at here, Heath?
I was going to do Josh Allen, but believe it or not, that's what this is. Darrell Henderson will be the best Rams running back rest of season.
I'm believing it today. Am I ready to believe it for the rest of the season? Kind of. Because Akers just hasn't looked great. Brown has looked okay. But Henderson's really going to have to botch it. I think the coaches like him. I'm believing it. I'm believing it.
Heath, are you believing it?
Yeah, I would like. I don't think he has a 50% chance of being the lead running back all season long, but I think he has the best chance of any running back on the roster. So he gets the plurality, but not the majority. Is that fair?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely fair. What can you throw in with Henderson for Joe Mixon, Adam?
Darius Slayton.
That's a great choice of names to throw in there. This and now and this I might got
take
interesting
because I might take it because I really like Slayton too. Oh. I hate his quarterback.
Do fumbles count in this league?
Gosh, yeah, no. I mean, Slayton does what every other Giants wide receiver does: doesn't get open, and then Daniel Jones throws interceptions. James Jones, Devin Singletary needs to be discussed here. No Zach Moss, 13 carries, 4 catches for Singletary. And he got some goal line work and he did not get in, unfortunately, but buy or sell, Devin Singletary is a reliable RB2 rest of season, even when Moss is back.
I believe it.
Everything but the reliable part.
Okay.
And I think he's going to have some ups and downs, but he'll be a number two.
I'm thinking it's going to be more of a low end number two. Like, I think it's going to be like a special occasion when he scores a touchdown, like Haley's yeah. Comet. Yeah, I know. Like, it's going to be like that, okay? Once every 76 years, Devin Singletary will score a touchdown.
Yeah, he's going to lead running backs in, like, yards to touchdown ratio, basically. It's my new YPC, YTT, YTTDs. Tyler Higbee, is he droppable?
No. Gasp. He ran into a team with a good scheme against tight ends, healthy linebackers. Jamie talked about this late in the week about how this would be bad for Tyler Higbee, and it's totally understandable.
Tennessee 31, Minnesota 30. Heath?
Buy or sell.
Believe it or not.
Believe it or not.
Is this your first podcast doing this, Heath?
Well, he did the whole buy or sell thing and it just threw me off.
Maybe I'm the one that threw
this
up.
This is the first time I've done buy or sell, actually, so I get that, yeah.
Believe it or not, Corey Davis is a startable wide receiver until A.J. Brown gets back.
I don't believe it.
I believe it.
Good.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh and Buffalo. Next 2 weeks.
Is Pittsburgh a bad matchup for receivers?
They're not.
I think it's a
matchup.
Bad matchup for Ryan Tannehill.
Like you're probably not going to go off on Pittsburgh. I know Slayton did, but it's you're probably not going to. But you know, they are giving up some production. So I don't know what to make of that. But
Fuller was good against them. Sutton was good against them. Slayton was good against them.
Yeah. Sutton was good because you know you might not see that in the numbers, but he only played 40% of the snaps. I think he had 66 yards. If you're stuck, yeah, why not? All right, let's do another one. Believe it or not.
Who's stuck in week 4?
A lot Everyone. Of people are stuck. Are you kidding? Look at all these injuries. I mean, Corey Davis was started in 42% of leagues this week, so a lot of people were stuck.
Yeah. He had 7 catches in week 1. He's had 8 in weeks 2 and 3.
Believe it or not, Ryan Tannehill should drop Ryan Tannehill for Ryan Fitzpatrick, believe it or not. But buy or sell.
I believe it.
You buy it.
No, I believe it.
B-.
Oh. That's good.
There's going to come. This is the problem. If you drop Tannehill, A, no one's really going to race to pick him up if it's a one quarterback league. But in 2 weeks after Pittsburgh and after Buffalo, he's got Houston, Cincinnati, Chicago, the Colts. I mean, he's got a stretch in there where he's got some great matchups. Of course, we thought he had a really great matchup today and he didn't throw a touchdown.
He threw for
a
321 yards, so let's give him that.
But I don't really think so. No, I don't think we're going to.
Why?
Because every time he throws 25 passes and 4 touchdown passes, I get to hear, how about that regression, Heath? So when he throws for 300 yards and no touchdowns, nope, he sucked. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, let's go to our next game. Cleveland 34 and Washington 20. Heath.
Believe it or not, Kareem Hunt is a sell high.
Yeah. 16 carries, 2 catches, and another touchdown.
I don't mind trying to sell high on him. I don't know if I would put him in the sell high category, so I do not believe it.
Would you rather have Joe Mixon or Kareem Hunt for the rest of the season?
Oh, I knew that question was coming. I really am nervous about Mixon, but I'm also a little nervous about Hunt. I'm encouraged that he had a game like this in what amounts to a blowout victory for the Browns. I think I would lean toward Hunt.
I think you could possibly sell Hunt for Mixon.
I definitely think you could.
And I don't know 100%. If I want to do that.
I think the game script is going to be really important here. You know, if they have a lead, although this was a pretty back and forth game, but they did end up winning by 14.
Because when they're behind, it's going to be better for him, right?
I think so. But he only has 8 catches in 3 games.
They've only been behind in one of the games.
They've only thrown 12.
4 of them were in that game where he was behind. But yeah, I guess so. But what I'm saying is, like, the last 2 games they played have been the Bengals and Washington.
I mean, what's going to happen when Kareem Hunt gets a game where he doesn't score a touchdown?
He's not going to score as many fantasy points.
Right. Well, thanks for that, Heath. But we're probably looking at, you know, you're going to freeze up when it comes to starting Kareem Hunt.
Week 1,
yeah, I guess
he had 13 carries for 72 yards and 4 catches for 9 yards at Baltimore.
So no touchdown and 12 PPR fantasy points.
Yeah, not bad.
But not what you want from your number 2 running back in full PPR.
Joe Mixon manager would sure take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But that's why I'm okay going with Hunt in this case.
Would you trade Kareem Hunt for Michael Gallup? Who would you rather have?
Hunt. By Hunt. About a million miles.
How about Kareem Hunt or Tyler Boyd?
Hunt.
I might say Boyd. I'm encouraged by Boyd's target share.
Me too. He'll be moving up for sure.
All right. Believe it or not, or buy or sell. Wait, what do I do?
I think you follow up with,
I think you move us
not.
On to the next game.
No. We got to talk about Beckham.
You're going to talk about Antonio Gibson and what do you do with him?
I was going to talk about, all right, who would you rather have rest of season, Beckham or Gibson?
Gibson.
Ooh. I'll say Odell.
Yeah.
I'm encouraged that Gibson had 3 catches. That's it. We're starting to get a little bit closer to what we're looking for from him.
Okay. Cincinnati
Somebody's
23.
Closer.
Cincinnati 23, Philadelphia 23. And Heath, you're up.
Yeah. Believe it or not, we already talked about AJ Green. Okay, sorry. Believe it or not, Carson Wentz and AJ Green are droppable.
No.
I half believe it.
Yeah, half believe it.
Because if I see Carson Wentz on the waiver wire, I'm not going to, you know, jump at it. But if I see AJ Green on the waiver wire, even though he's gotten off to a horrible start, I'm jumping.
Like, AJ Green definitely has the fewest fantasy points of any person you would say that about, right?
Probably.
It's not injured?
Probably. Well, I don't know if someone's cutting Joe Mixon because they're tired of looking at his mugshot on their roster.
Who has more points between the two?
I would assume Mixon does.
No, I would say J.K. Dobbins. Oh, no. Dobbins had 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Cam Akers, maybe?
He's
injured. I picked up Akers in one of my leagues. Somebody dropped him.
Oh, Swift's going to get dropped in some leagues this week. He played 5% of the snaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, that's a separate thought. Tell me what you think about Greg Ward and Zach Ertz. Ward had 8 catches for 72 yards and a touchdown on 11 targets. Ertz had 7 catches for 70 yards on 10 targets.
Rager's out for a while. DeSean Jackson might be out for a while. Dallas Goedert might be out for a while. Wentz is running out of people to throw to again. Ward kind of came in the clutch last year. Here he is again. Arcega Whiteside's hurt. Philadelphia is that team.
Well, what do you think? I mean, he's 2% rostered. How rostered should Greg Ward be?
Somewhere north of 20%, but less. Yeah. Okay. Like right somewhere between 20 and 30%.
San Francisco 36, Giants 9. I was having such a great weekend. That's over.
Yeah, believe it or not, last week we did You Can't Start Any Giants, so I won't do that again. Believe it or not, Jeff Wilson should be the number one out on the waiver wire.
Can you tell me what McKinnon's status is, or is it going to be like uncertain?
No,
We might not know.
You're not going to know. We don't ever know.
Wait
these
a
things.
Minute. We'll get a Monday update on McKinnon and what the injury. We'll get a Monday update on McKinnon.
I don't think they're going to tell us on Monday whether McKinnon's playing this week.
Well, if he's got fractured ribs, then we're going to know that he's not going to play. But if it's he's got sore ribs, he got bruised up, beat up, we'll see how he does this week in practice. Well, then there's a chance that he plays. And if they have an optimistic report on Mostert, that just makes it all the worse for Wilson. We need those guys out of the way for Wilson to be a 1 week hero. For fantasy purposes.
So,
and I can't believe he caught passes and even caught a touchdown.
Yeah. Well, he scored both of his touchdowns in the fourth quarter. He had 12 carries on the day, and Wilson, six of them came on the final drive of the game, other than the kneel downs. All right. So Wilson, we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. Let me ask you this. Devontae Freeman is rostered in 89% of leagues. Some people spent 40%, 50%, ton of their fab on Devontae Freeman. Well, you know what? Like, I'm not laughing because I didn't even think he was going to play necessarily. He played and he had five carries for 10 yards. He's
nothing negative about this at all.
No, right. He looked just as rough as he did last year.
It's five carries, but fine. But what I'm saying is he's 89% rostered now. What do you think it's going to be on Wednesday morning?
78. 80. Yeah. You should not drop him yet. We need to see him with a full week of practice before we make any judgments.
But are you starting him anytime soon?
Well, that's going to depend on what he does next week.
Definitely not starting him next week. Right. Wait and see.
And can't start him next week.
Deion Lewis thing. Like, Deion Lewis got two touches. It's ridiculous. Yep. So Evan Engram is droppable, buy or sell?
I don't believe it.
Not in a vacuum, but it's possible.
Again, if he's out there on the waiver wire, I do not mind having him as my second tight end.
Guys, we got 6 minutes, six games left. Hopefully we can do it in 10 minutes at most. Chicago 30, Atlanta 26. Go ahead, Heath.
Yeah, believe it or not, Russell Gage and Hayden Hurst are not good enough to be second and third options.
Well, Gage got hurt.
He got hurt, but he played enough snaps to have better numbers than he did. He was having a very bad game when he got hurt.
Two catches, 24 yards on three targets. Maybe.
No.
I mean, I think Calvin Ridley, while he wasn't very efficient in this game, showed us that he can be the number one if Julio misses an extended period of time.
He had almost
Gage has
no,
succeeded with a lot of targets, but two elite wide receivers around him. A team could pay him no mind whatsoever.
You know, Calvin Ridley had almost no, he had one catch in the second half. And I'm wondering if like losing Julio and Gage, you know, actually was bad for him. But, you know, the full game stats are obviously tremendous.
Ryan's game sealing interception was ticketed to Ridley. It was just a bad throw.
I don't know. Undecided on that one, Heath. Okay. How about buy or sell? Anthony Miller is back in play with Nick Foles at the helm.
Yeah, because what does that mean, back in play? A possible starter for your team? Worthy of a roster spot for your team? What does that mean?
Yes. Like what you said about Justin Jefferson, at the very least. Worthy of being on your bench.
Yeah, okay. I'll buy that he's bench worthy.
I had not quite yet dropped him yet, so I guess that's why I sold.
Real quick, Todd Gurley or Melvin Gordon rest of season? Melvin. Heath whispered Melvin.
I think I would say Melvin, but I know that Philip Lindsay's coming back and this Broncos offense looks bad. Falcons offense looks bad, and Gurley isn't the only running back in town for Atlanta. Okay. He's catching
nothing. So you're saying
nothing. I guess I'm going to say Melvin, but like I know Todd Gurley, 80 yards and a touchdown. Everybody should be thrilled. This might be his best game of the year. If there was ever, here's a sell high candidate. Take him after this game and go to the fantasy manager that just spent a ton of fab on Devontae Freeman and say, forget about that old Falcons receiver or Falcons running back. Take this old Falcons running back. I ruined my joke because I said
yeah, that's okay. Carolina 21, Chargers 16. Heath?
This game makes me a little bit sick, but believe it or not, Joshua Kelly's 23 carries in week two were the outlier.
Oh, believe it.
Well, we were expecting them to be like salting away a win in this game.
Exactly. Exactly. And they should have leaned on the run way more than they did.
But if they're a 1-2 team whose only victory came because the Bengals missed a field goal at the end of the game, maybe we shouldn't ever expect them to be salting away wins.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm sorry. The Panthers defense coming into this game was terrible. They were absolutely terrible.
The Chargers offense has not been very good.
No,
they're scoring 18 points a game or something.
But at the very least, they showed some willingness to run the football, and they should have known going into this game that they should have run the football and taken pressure off of their rookie quarterback.
How much do you think Kelly's fumble mattered?
It probably mattered a little bit. More than I'm giving it credit for. It's trouble. And now he's back again. This is 2 of 3 games where he's been in the 8 to 12 range, which we've talked about. That's where that second running back is for the Chargers.
Who would you rather have rest of the season, Daryl Henderson or Josh Kelly?
Henderson by 100 million miles.
Are you kidding?
Absolutely not. Because when Cam Akers gets back, you might see 3 running backs in there. And you know,
when Justin Jackson gets back, he might get carries again.
Okay. All right. Jeez. Sorry. Buy or sell. DJ Moore.
You could have done a better one than that one.
DJ Moore is not going to have 5 touchdown catches this year. Or he will not. He will not have more than 5.
So.
Okay. I sell that.
Jets and Colts. I put Jets 36, Colts 7. That doesn't feel right to me. Did I switch
what
that?
What should you say?
Colts 36, Jets 7, 36. I think.
Oh, okay.
Sounds more right.
I thought you were saying the game wasn't as close as the score would indicate.
No, it was. I switched the teams. Colts 36, yes, Jets 7.
Yeah.
Heath?
Well, I mean, you could do a variety of things here. I think we talked enough about T.Y. Hilton. So I will say buy or sell. Jonathan Taylor's been just a little bit of a disappointment.
His workload has been a disappointment.
Well, wait.
Well, this week it was.
This week it was. He had 26 carries last week. He hasn't like broken off big runs and been awesome in that sense. But can't complain with a touchdown, and he's going to score a lot of touchdowns.
They were blowing out the Jets. They were able to give Wilkins some run. Naheem Hines had 7 carries. I'm not worried one bit. I'm not even a little bit unhappy with Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I agree. I'm gonna not believe it.
Okay.
Buy or sell, Naheem Hines. You can drop him in PPR. He had 4 catches.
And what's that about too? Like last week, we thought we could start Naheem Hines. Nope, yeah. You can't. He's not involved at all. He's not even going to touch the football. We don't want him to come on the field or in the huddle. And then this week, he has 11 touches for what, 60 yards?
Mm-hmm. 61. Yeah, but that's not that
good.
He
was worth double-digit PPR points.
Okay, look, just say sell. When I say buy or sell, you think that I buy all of them. You can allow me to sell them, you know?
I believe Naheem Hines is a good bench running back in full PPR.
I was complaining about his usage, not your question.
Okay. Seattle 38, Dallas 31. Heath, what do you got?
Buy or sell, Amari Cooper is really the only Cowboys wide receiver that's a trustworthy start every week.
No, I think Cedric Wilson is that guy.
Oh, stop it.
I think I trust CeeDee Lamb only in PPR. I don't think he's going to score a lot of touchdowns, but this is his worst game. Well, no, he's had 2 games with about 5 catches for 60 yards. So an 11-point floor is not that good, but it's worthy of being like a flex in a PPR league. So I say Lamb.
I won't believe that. I think Gallup put himself back on the map as at worst a number 3 receiver. Look, he came close to having good numbers in week 1 and I guess in week 2 as well.
Right.
Connection finally made in week 3.
Yeah. Okay, and then buy or sell, DK Metcalf is one of the most interesting players in football.
DeSean K. Metcalf?
But it's everything. Like it's the drops. Points. It's the like he burns guys deep every game. He's incredible, and he's so bad sometimes. Like, oh my gosh, what a roller coaster!
I mean, he was a goofball for having somebody pop the ball out from behind him on the what should have been like a 60 plus yard touchdown earlier in the game, made up for it later in the game. But if he hadn't, if he had secured the ball better earlier in the game, he wouldn't have needed to score that touchdown later in the game. We're still going to take that touchdown later in the game. He's absolutely, I don't know if interesting is the word, must start is are the words for DK Metcalf.
Detroit 26, Arizona 23.
Buy or sell Kenyon Drake's, or believe it or not, Kenyon Drake's a bust.
I don't believe it.
No, I think I do. But like a mild bust. Like I'd take him in the third round. Okay, so let's talk
he
about
this. He was going at the 1-2 turn for a lot of drafts.
Mixon was going ahead of him.
Let's talk about the team, the running backs that you took after him that you would take ahead of him now. And my reasoning for it is I just think that Kyler Murray is having such a great year running the ball and DeAndre Hopkins is catching so many passes. And I think those two factors are hurting Kenyon Drake. But Jonathan Taylor ahead of him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones is obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather have James Conner.
Yeah. As long as he stays
healthy. I don't know if I'm... Connor's going to be more valuable in a trade than Kenyon Drake right now, but I don't know if I'm ready to say that.
I think Eckler's ADP forward. Was behind his. I was right. taking Eckler over him. I'd rather have Eckler.
Yeah, I would rather have Eckler.
Like, what about Nick Chubb? Because I know it's easy right now. The easy thing is to say Nick Chubb ahead of Drake. But
Nick Chubb ahead of Drake.
Yeah. I mean, I get that, but I think there's a case that they're pretty even. It's just one of the guys scoring touchdowns right now, and the other is
Heath. Who would you take, Hunt or Drake?
I'd probably take Drake still.
I would too.
But it's not particular. I mean, it's much closer than I thought it was going to be.
I promise you they will find a way to feed him in the next, not feed him. They've been doing that. I think they'll find a way to get him some touchdowns here in the next month or so.
He needs the targets that are going to Chase Edmonds. I think that's the difference.
Well, he needs the rushing touchdowns that are going to Kyler Murray too.
That would help as well.
Tampa Bay 28 and Denver 10.
Believe it or not, it just took a couple of weeks, but Tom Brady's a must-start quarterback.
He didn't have as many drops on him this week as last week. 7 drops last week was really bad. I believe that. Must-start is a little... All right, can we temper the must-start and just...
No.
Can we cut the must?
No.
All right, then I guess I can't believe it.
Then. Wait, I have
but
a better
if we
one.
Did temper it, then I would say yes.
I have a better one. Well, that wasn't the question. Dave, come on. I have a better one. There are no must-start quarterbacks that are not 250 rushing yard guys. None of the quarterbacks that are not like running quarterbacks are must-starts by or sell. And Matt Ryan, I would always say
Mahomes is just barely.
Yeah, he's in there.
He qualifies as a rushing quarterback.
Yeah, he had like 300 yards in 16 games last year, kind of playoffs.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, 250 is like the arbitrary line I use, which is, you know, anybody could, you can, sure, any
would,
number you
I
want.
Would, I would believe that statement. That is a believable statement.
I don't think I believe it if Julio Jones is healthy, because then Matt Ryan is a must start. But that's pretty much it, right? Like all the must start, no question, no doubt about it quarterbacks are the mobile guys. We'll see what Rodgers does tonight. Maybe he gets in there. I don't know. Don't tell me what he does. Okay, we got to go, everybody.
Wait.
No, I'm taking off my headphones. I don't want to hear
No,
what
no, I have something from
Thank
the Broncos
Thank you so much game. For watching Fantasy Football today and listening
Can
to
Can I please say what
today.
I want to say?
We'll be back tomorrow with our Monday episode. See ya.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.